Well, as part of our occasional series in the podcast here, we're talking to people who might be able to give advice or introduce listeners to new facets of wellness, so to speak, in terms of physical health, mental health, and whatever. And today I'm delighted to welcome Andy Franklin Miller, who is consultant physician in sport and exercise medication in the Sports Surgery Clinic in Santry in Dublin. That's a bit of a mouthful, Andy, isn't it?
It is. Okay,
you're a consultant physician in sport and exercise medication. Now, the first thing I want to get out of this is you are involved with the Sports Surgery Clinic in Santry, and it's known as a sports clinic, obviously, in the title. But is it open to old-timers like me who would nearly feel I'd better dress up in an attractive tracksuit to go out there, or could I go out there in my ordinary everydays and be accepted in to get advice and consultation?
Absolutely. Look, do you know, even though we have sports very heavily in the name, we cater for exercise medicine, muscular pain, joint pain in everybody. You don't need to have ever touched a golf ball or a football or run a half a meter to be a patient with ours. So if you have pain or you need help in terms of lifestyle or exercise, where your location?
You can go, and it's out in Santry and all of those things. I'm going to concentrate today on illnesses that are kind of age-related. And I take it, and I know that from your point of view, it would be very important for some of these age-related illnesses, which I will get you to enumerate, that exercise becomes a very much a part of rehabilitation or of just ongoing wellness.
Absolutely. And that wellness and lifestyle term has lots of negative associations. We all know about social media and looking at fitness models and lifestyle bloggers with the latest fad, the latest diet, the latest top exercise. And I think it's very easy to exclude a lot of the population, whether or not you don't fit into that 20-something population, you know, on a yoga retreat. And I think that's where sport and exercise medicine can help significantly. So we're all physicians. We've trained in medicine, hospital medicine.
How broadly. Many of you are there, by the way, out of the sports clinic?
There are eight of us. We're the largest centre of sport and exercise medicine in Europe.
Sport and exercise medicine. Okay, so what else do you do in there?
So it's broadly a mix. So where you might see an orthopaedic surgeon expecting an operation in terms of needing some surgery, we see exactly the same: shoulders, necks, arms, legs, feet,
hips.
Ankles, hips,
yeah.
Backs, and as well as a population who are needing help to manage their other things going on with them. So we know as we all get a little older, we're likely to pick up a number of medications along the way, be it for raised blood pressure or
yeah.
type 2 diabetes, or even pain with osteoarthritis. And trying to look at the latest research, a lot of these conditions have a huge benefit from starting exercise.
What kind of exercise? Okay, say let's take blood pressure. I suppose that probably is the most common. I know arthritis would be, and I really am talking about the older generation, the age-related thing. If it is blood pressure or diabetes or any of these, what kind of exercise are you talking about?
Well, look, it's a great question, because the World Health Organization will tell us in a very broad terms, 150 minutes of exercise per week shows some evidence in reducing your blood pressure by 10 millimeters of mercury. So we know that there's two figures, a systolic and a diastolic pressure. So that's two pressures that people will have measured regularly. Drugs can take it down by a similar amount. So there are good studies that show irregular exercise can match the performance of drugs, which is great news for everybody, really,
yeah.
in terms of managing that. But the advice on what to do is very lacking. So is that 10 minutes of brisk walking twice a day, or
that
is it getting
really
into the gym?
My question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so walking, you said 10 minutes of walking, is that what you said?
Well, if we got to get to 150 minutes a week, we've got to get 3 10-minute walks in 5 days a week, which actually for some people is pretty tough. And so there are other ways of designing a program. And it's really a case, when we have a consultation, it's a finding, What excites you? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What do you like doing? Because there's no point in me telling you, listen, I'd like you to go and play five-a-side football if it's the worst thing in the world for you. You don't even want to even think about it. Likewise, you might not be a golfer. So going out and spending 2 hours on the course might be a great way of getting in that 150 minutes of exercise to meet that criteria. But it's probably not going to push you hard enough in terms of brisk walking that we really need. So a lot of this is very individually designed.
Would you say a half hour? You're talking about doing 3 10-minute walks in a day, but actually it might suit better to just go for your one daily walk and make it a half hour. Would a half hour fairly good walk be adequate exercise, do you think, in total for a day for somebody of advanced age?
Absolutely right. However, the trick here is that it has to be at the right intensity. So in terms of the prescription of exercise, and we talk about that quite a lot in terms of it's a little bit like writing out a script for a medication, it's important to get the intensity right. So it's a voice that you should be out of breath enough to be able to maintain a conversation, but not sing a song. So actually, you've got to be out of breath a bit just actually to make that beneficial. And very often, going for an amble probably isn't going to get you the benefit where that blood pressure fall we'll see yourself. So it needs to be prescribed in a way that you can go out there in order to struggle to maintain that conversation so that you know you've got the right level of intensity.
So it shouldn't be just a dawdle around the park.
Absolutely right.
You should be actually trying to put a bit of pace on it.
Yes.
Or even would you vary it? I mean, you go on an easy bit and then you walk faster for a while, for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever.
Absolutely. And there's a piece of research which actually is quite valuable, is that you can vary. It doesn't need to just be what we'd call aerobic exercise, so the brisk walking. Getting into a gym and lifting some weights, doing some resistance training can be of great benefit, and you get more bang for your buck. So half an hour in the gym lifting some weights is probably worth 60 minutes or so worth of the brisk walking. So if you're in a time poor or it's a struggle to get this right, then getting into the gym, doing a program there, you can get more out of less.
Let's work on the basis, though, that people have an aversion to going to gyms, or they feel they're too old to do it, or they don't want to, or they can't afford it. In terms of the exercises then they're going to do, so, okay, that's walking, varying the pace, and building up to where you're nearly breathless, or you're certainly panting just a little bit by the end, right? That's one. That's walking. Now, give me another couple of exercises that you're talking about that are kind of not necessarily gym-related, but that you could do at home or around the neighbourhood.
Well, we take that a little step further and talk about intensity of exercise. So back in this prescription, you get on a bike, get in the pool and do some swimming. But rather than just saying, well, look, you want 30 minutes of this or 40 minutes of it, it's really, again, research demonstrates that a concept called high-low or high-intensity exercise can actually be much more beneficial. So again, you might swim as fast as you can for 10 seconds, have a 40 or 50 second break, and swim fast as you can again for another 10 seconds. Do that 10 times. That's a great bit of exercise.
Yeah.
And so it's really getting the dose prescription of this right rather than just doing it. And of course, we need to make sure that there are no reasons why that particularly the high intensity work is safe enough to do, putting in context everything else that's going on potentially with the patient.
Yeah. Andy Franklin Miller of the Sports Surgery Clinic, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
That's all from us for this week. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that you'll join us again. The Senior Times podcast is produced by Conor O'Hagan and brought to you by Senior Times magazine in association with Zurich Life, Expressway, Doro, and the Sports Surgery Clinic. This is Mike Murphy saying goodbye for now.
If you're enjoying this podcast, why not subscribe to Senior Times, the magazine and website for people who don't act their age? Or maybe you have a loved one or a friend who you know would love to read more. You can buy a subscription and have the magazine delivered direct to their door. To subscribe to Senior Times, visit www.seniortimes.ie or call Karen on 087 942 9381.